Welcome to the Corporate Data Show, a podcast dedicated to helping marketing professionals leverage data to generate revenue. Whether you're looking for techniques and strategies or tools and resources, you've come to the right place. Now for our host and CEO of Every Market Media, Rick Holmes.
Welcome back to the Corporate Data Show, folks. My name's Rick Holmes, your host, and I've got today joining me on the Corporate Data Show, Eric Quanstrom, the CMO of Science. How are you, Eric?
I'm dynamite. Thanks, Rick.
Awesome. Dynamite. That's a great word. Nobody's used dynamite yet. And you may, I'm guessing, be the 50th episode of the show. So to go through 50 of these intros and have nobody say dynamite, I like it.
There you go.
I like it. So for anybody who lives under a rock, what's Science doing these days?
Well, Science, and that's Science without an S, is essentially a company that combines people, product, process to create pipeline. So there's your four Ps, if you will. A lot of people think of us as kind of an outbound or outsourced SDR service. And we also have a number of software products that we marry up with that for...
Well, sure. They're like helping your people be more efficient, semi-automation,
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. And the name of the game is to help our clients grow. And that's what we do.
Yeah. We did that for a few years as ZMM. I think we had eight folks doing it. And then we eat our own cooking over here as well. And, you know, it's a tough job, especially if you have a tiny little niche market, to keep being able to feed leads into the campaigns and keep them rolling for long periods of time. A lot of companies fail. A lot of companies. They make a good earnest try and then they're just like, I'm hiring it out.
You know?
And
yeah. We've grown our own organization to north of 1,200 folks. And you know, on that journey, we've helped a lot of businesses, large and small, but it is not
that's
easy.
Awesome.
It is not easy.
No, it's not. We've just tried even for, you know, standardizing the process for training our own people. And I like to think because we're in the outbound business, we're better than 98% of people at our whole package on outreach for outbound. But it's got to be good. And it includes inbound and it includes follow-up and after lead care and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And if you miss one of those items, that's what causes your results to be halfsies, and that's what drags your program. So thanks for summarizing it for that. Folks out there listening, when the sound check was going on, Eric and I talked, we talked about brand building.
Yep.
And we actually talked about this podcast. It's kind of like a soft website metric, I guess, for lack of a better word, soft demand metric.
Sure.
Right? He comes on the show, we get some likes, we get some new traffic to the site, but then what, right? That's all part of, at least in our business, and Eric's going to help straighten this out because my business is a little dysfunctional. Whose isn't? He's going to help us sort this out, right? What is brand building? Because to us, that us in the sales and quota marketing world, like that means you don't have to tie a leads quota to it, you know?
Yeah.
And, but nobody wants to be spinning their wheels generating literally no demand and literally no eyeballs. So I'm curious how you decide to handle it. I guess I can share quickly because my method is really simple how we handle it.
Yeah.
We just take 20% of the budget and we allow it to go to things that we can attribute. Your method sounds way better. What do you do? How do you do it?
I like to think of brand as that invisible container of associations, beliefs, and feelings about a particular company whenever that name is mentioned. You know, I think Jeff Bezos is famous for the quote, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. And I tend to believe that that's actually pretty accurate. So the way that I think about building brand, and I think where a lot of people go wrong, or maybe I just think differently about this. I really think building brand is all about starting from the outside in rather than the inside out. And what do I mean by that? I mean, the ability for you to kind of plot a course as a business for what you should be known for, what you want to be associated with your business, where your customers are, and how do you put yourself in kind of the path of them finding you and then associating with your business. Your area is a promise. And so a very much, you know, kind of like external view that has to be answered largely in the mind of your would-be prospects, your would-be buyers. So it's where you bring kind of a new buyer's journey into how you think about what activities you're going to execute on marketing-wise, sales outreach-wise, to form that brand.
Okay. And so this is a little... not confusing, but I guess I'll split it one time. Okay. when we do outbound, right, we're checking for that business fit, you know, where our customer lives, finding that name, sort of doing some of that attribution work on the front end.
Yep.
And then similarly, we end up kind of, because we're not as good at it, skimping on the inbound attribution. But like, we know our website's got to look good as a sales brochure, because when people go there, they got to look at it, and we're a data company. They can't go look at our documentation and have it be all bad looking.
Yeah.
All those things. And it's, as a marketer who's always been focused on ad ROI.
Yeah.
Man, attribution's big topic. I definitely would be curious, separate from this, like how the pieces work, to pick some of these, you know, I don't know what other way to say it, a multifaceted approach where not each contributor alone has like a dollar value you could stick on its worth.
Well, I think that a lot of marketers, a lot of new school marketers really get wrapped around the axle when they're very pedantic and they're very kind of like extreme about attributing everything. And I think that that's a little bit of fool's gold or a red herring, so to speak.
Yeah.
Largely because there's things that you'll never be able to attribute, and things that cause people to buy or not buy, people that cause themselves to do business with your company or not do business with their company, that you'll never know. And that is, frankly, the truth of the matter. And so, you know, marketers—
I've heard that said as your biggest enemy isn't no, it's no decision.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And no decision oftentimes will be even painted as a bunch of other dispositions in a sales cycle, because people are generally, you know, not complete. How do I say this? They're not assholes.
Yeah. Well, no, but they're also, look, business
changes.
They won't
give you straight answers.
That's variable. They don't know. Their boss doesn't know. You know, it's not part of a priority for them to give you those answers. Not necessarily lying, necessarily. I always tell my salespeople that, like, just because somebody seems to have said it untruth doesn't mean they're a liar. It might mean they're just uninformed. What's that law by the person? It's not Maslow's, Hanlon's razor. Okay. And that's, if you can attribute stupidity or malice, attribute stupidity first. Anyways, so I'm just like, they're ignorant. They don't know. You don't know what you don't know. Hell, that's what every legal call of my life is like.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that back to brand, one of the things that's most important about brand is brand's contribution to a sales cycle in the four walls that you're not in, right? So if you think about any sales cycle, I'm a big believer, and I think that the trends and all the data support this, especially in B2B, when you are in a non-transactional sales cycle, in other words, a consultative sales process, something for a high ticket value, something more than you would normally fit onto, say, a corporate credit card without review, you better believe that that sale is going to have, you know, some democratic properties on the buy side. In other words, it won't just be one person, a sole decision maker, making that choice, if you will.
Sure, it's three or four people, maybe more.
Maybe more.
I don't remember the last stat I read on the number of, I suppose it depends on the size of the company, but the complete buying party is, I mean, I've heard figures like 10 sometimes.
That's what Gardner or Serious Decisions or Forrester or a lot of the analyst firms are, you know, kind of reporting. The buying group, if you will, is doing nothing but getting larger these days. And I would argue, especially in the macro economy that we're in, those trends are going to exacerbate further, because people don't want to make the cousin of FOMO, fear of missing out, which, you know, every sale could be viewed as a change management exercise, is FOMU, fear of messing up. So no buyer wants to mess up with any decision of relative importance as identified by a dollar value that would make it a substantial purchase.
Right. Their boss is going to whack them over the head. They pick a bad data vendor, for sure.
Exactly. So if you think back to brand and the role that it plays, ultimately, if you can just—
Nobody got fired for buying IBM. Is that another saying?
Greatest marketing ever done. In my opinion.
Really? Yeah. Right. Nobody ever got fired for buying IBM. Nobody ever got fired for buying Zoom Info, probably, or whatever. Not to keep complimenting Zoom. I got to find some other people to compliment. But they do kick ass right now. They kind of are the ass kicker in the space.
Well, they've rolled up a lot of their relevant competition very smartly and, you know, are a big publicly traded company now. And those are elements of brand. No doubt about it.
Yep. Well, and in the bigger, more public, easily created public world, I think some of the old public companies that had a nice grip on things, they're losing that grip to people with more specific branding that are really pointing at a niche they solve.
Right.
You know, instead of a broad list of solutions. So, yeah, I mean, I think we talked about some of the challenges people have. Guys, you got to look at a little more detail. You got to look at a little more variable. obviously, we never get this complete process explained to you on a, you know, whatever, less than 10-minute long podcast, because I try to be able to make it so people can listen during lunch. You can check with Eric. Eric, if anybody wants to get in touch with you after the show, how do they do that?
Sure. I'm actually a pretty easy target.
Oh, good.
There's very few, relatively speaking, Quantstroms in the world. So if you stumble over to LinkedIn and just did a search, I'll usually be one of the few that show up.
I wonder how many Quantstroms I got in my set. I'll have to look.
Yeah. It's not Johnson or Smith.
No, it's not Johnson or Smith or Hall or what did I have to do this for my programming all the time. Top surnames, top whatever. So loved having you on. Really fun show. Great energy. Look them up on LinkedIn. And remember, it's science, but there's no S on the front of it. So CIENCE.com is where you want to pick up. Rising star. Their headcount's 1,500 people. And honestly, before today, didn't really know who you were. Sheesh. Maybe, hopefully, other people will discover you.
I've got more branding work to do.
Well, you know, you got more branding work to do. Yeah, for sure. But also, you know, I'm not really big enough to be a prospect for your firm. You know, we're sub 10, you know, so, we could use your help. But the last like kind of SDR outsourcing company we did, man, it's just tricky for them to figure it out. And I got a sense if people look into what you're doing, folks who are not buying lists from me and doing this yourself or buying lists from other folks and hiring a specific person, I'm sure you've all discovered the pain. You know, it's minimum, what, $6,000 a head or something to put an SDR in a seat, $8,000. I don't know. Depends.
Depends on what part of the country you're into.
Yeah, that's true. That matters a lot, right? And if you can hook up with somebody who has people in rural places, that helps a lot.
Yeah, it does.
You got great work and ethics and less money. So I encourage everybody to check out Science. You should check them out. They got a good plan. I've actually never been convinced before that branding is worth any money at all. And what the hell? I'll give it a shot. I'm going to let Esther have some more money for branding, but she's absolutely... Send her a book or something, would you?
Sure.
You got any books that you recommend? Send it to us so we can brand over here at EMM.
Plenty.
Wonderful. All right, Eric, it's been great having you. I hope you have a lovely weekend. Thanks for coming on the show. People, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. If Eric wasn't the 50th episode, dang, it's going to be happening very soon. Thanks, everybody, for listening to my show. If you'd like, I would like you to give us a like or a share on social media, because I'm recording this thing basically for my own giggles. And whenever I get more downloads, it gives me more giggles. So share this with your friends if you like it. I try not to put any BS in here. As you can see, short show. Okay. Everybody have a great week ahead. This is Rick Holmes signing off from the Corporate Data Show. Thank you much.
Thanks for listening to the Corporate Data Show. Do you have a topic or guest idea? We want to hear from you. Reach out by sending an email to marketing@everymarketmedia.com. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Until next time.